Hey there, Eternity. Welcome back to the weekly podcast. My name is Graydon, and I am so happy that you have joined me today. This week's episode is entitled Get Angry. It is the third week of the Flourishing Church. If you have missed the first 2 weeks of this series, I highly recommend that you check those out. You can find those in the most recent episodes that we have put out, and we know that those will just bless you. But this week's episode is awesome. I know that you will love it. So without further ado, here is Get Angry, and here is Pastor Jesse.
All right, come on, who's coming to get some Christian chicken? Come on, Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A today. Hey, hey! That's what my kids sing anyway every time we go on Chick-fil-A. They learned that at school. So anyone else's kids sing that? No. All right, I thought maybe it was an Iowa thing or an America thing, but it's just a Newman kid thing. All right, cool. Made a fool of myself. Welcome to church. If you're new here, my name is Jesse. I sometimes sing on stage, and usually I get booed off. But at church, people are too nice to do that, so that's fantastic. But hey, we really are glad you're here. If you're new here, we got a gift for you. Out in the lobby, there's a welcome bag, so please go get that on your way out. If you're online and this is your first time joining us, or maybe you've just never actually connected, please go to myeternity.com/new. That's N-E-W. And grab that free, sign up there, and we'll send you that welcome bag in the mail. But I tell you what, I'm going a little retro today in the sermon. I'm bringing back a sermon title, at least from about 3 or 4 years ago. I'm actually going to talk about how a flourishing church gets angry. Come on. And how we got to get a little angry up in here today. And come on. And so we're going there today. A little bit of retro there. But first, before we do that, I want to share a quick video with you. This week, I was actually hanging out with one of our elders, Pastor Benny Perez. Our elders are Benny Perez, Ashley Evans, and Paul Gerling. I was hanging out with Benny Perez in Las Vegas, where he pastors an amazing church. And while there, he wanted to pray for our church and prophesy over our church. And so you can get that whole 11-minute video online at 1 o'clock today on Instagram and on Facebook and on YouTube. But right now, I just want to share with you just a 3-minute clip, Pastor Benny praying for us as a church and encouraging you. So come on, up on the screen there, let's go.
My prayer is, oh, I know I got hit with this, but in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for healing. I thank you, God, that you're my provider. I thank you, oh mountain, who are you? And I speak to the mountain. That's what Jesus said, you speak to the mountain. Mm. When we have a heaven to earth perspective, we live differently. We think differently, we talk differently, and now we begin to live in agreement with what heaven is saying. Amen. Father, I pray for Pastor Jesse.
Thank
God,
you, Jesus.
I pray for Eternity Church right now. I lay my hands on Pastor Jesse,
thank you, Jesus.
Representing, Lord, incredible people at Eternity Church, and I begin to speak life over you.
Yes.
I speak God's favor over you.
Thank you,
I speak Jesus. In the name of Jesus as an elder of this church and the apostolic anointing on my life. I break every attack that would be coming against this church. I break the spirit that's trying to take people out with depression and discouragement. I speak life to you right now, Eternity
yes.
Church. I speak life
yes.
to people that are struggling right now, being confined to their home. Father, I pray that people would invite you into whatever situation they're
come
in.
On.
Lord, some are in the fiery furnace. Some are in a flood. Mm. Some are in the middle of a dark hole. And God, we invite you in right now because wherever you come, in light comes in.
Hallelujah.
Wherever you come in, peace comes in.
Yes.
Wherever
thank
you
Jesus.
Are, God, your kingdom
yes.
invades, and we declare that right now. And I speak over you, Jesse, eyes to see, a mind to comprehend all that God has. And I believe that the latter part of 2020 is going to be a greater season than you ever had.
Amen.
I believe that there's going to be still some giants that arise. But the Lord is going to, by His grace, through your leadership and through people that rise up in unity, every giant that comes against Eternity Church shall fall in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because Jesus is our victory. Jesus is our Savior, and Jesus is our great shepherd. And I declare
Hallelujah.
That over you right now in the name of Jesus. There's a lady right now, you're watching. I believe you have 2 children. And one of them is not serving God, and you've been worried extremely about this, about one of your kids. And I'm telling you, this is a time to say, nope, all my family shall serve God.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
This is the time to declare God's word. Yes, you've been pouring out your heart, God, about my kids. God says, I got it. Begin to declare my promises. Begin to declare what I say. Begin to say, you know what? Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. I don't know the timing, but I'm telling you, there's a time when they will come back in the name of Jesus. I speak blessings over businesses. Let businesses increase like never before.
Yes,
expand it, Lord God, financial blessing to be generators of blessing to the kingdom and to other families. We are blessed to be a blessing. I declare that right now in the name of Jesus and bring unity like never before, because where there's unity, God, you command a blessing.
Amen.
And I declare that over you, Hallelujah. Pastor Jesse, and over Eternity Hallelujah. Church. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Come on, everybody, give God a big amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, do you receive
Praise
that,
God.
Church? Come on, if you receive that word over your family, your life, your business, your workplace, somebody say amen. Amen. God bless you. Hey, would you stand up for the scripture this morning? Genesis 1, 24 to 28. I told you we're going retro today. Some of y'all are like, didn't you just like use this scripture for the whole sermon series like a month ago? Yes, I did. Let's go back, all right? We're going back to the start again, Pastor Sean. Genesis 1, 24 to 28. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. Eternity Church, why was it so? Because God said so. Amen. And so it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kind, all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God looked at it and he said, it is
good.
And then God said, let us make mankind in our image. This seems different than what happened before, doesn't it? Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, image, likeness, said it twice, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals and all the creatures that move along the ground. And so God created mankind in his image. Third time, he's trying to make a point right here, isn't he? In the image of God. Fourth time, he's really making a point here. In the image of God, he created you. Male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them and said, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Come on, that's a good word. Would you reach out your hands if you want to receive from the Lord today? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you created us in your image, that we are special, that we are unique from every other created thing on the planet. God, we are unique. You did something special, something wonderful, something excellent when you made us. And so, God, help us in this season to see our value through your eyes, to understand our worth through your eyes. In the name of Jesus, I ask that you would use this moment, this 30-minute moment, to impact eternity. In the name of Jesus, somebody say, amen.
Amen.
And all the old school Christians yell out, hallelujah. And all the even older school Christians yell out, glory, glory, glory. And then you may take your seats. Come on, praise God. Isn't it good to be in church today?
Yes.
Is it any family or any person's first time back in church this week? Give us a wave. Yes, come on. Come on, give them a welcome back to church. Welcome to church. God's going to bless you here today. I just absolutely know it. I got to let you know, by the way, we know that in order to keep up our this physical distancing stuff going on in the world, that we don't have a lot more space left in this service or the next service. And so in order to make up for that, we are actually going to, before we turn it into the kids' room, we're going to use that space up there as an overflow. And we're going to hope and pray and work hard in an effort to have it ready for next week, all right? And so that way, no matter who of you want to join us next week or who of your friends want to come to church and worship with you next week, there'll be this space and that space still in the building, all right? Still in the building, just there. You'll be able to hear and experience and wave and hello to everybody else. Sound good? Awesome. We always want to make sure that everybody can have a seat at eternity. Amen? So awesome. Hey, so you were made in the image of God. That's good news. You were made in the image of God. Nothing else that was made in the image of God. Nothing, not a squat, not a thing. You were made in the image of God. Whoever you are, wherever you are, YouTube, Facebook, Instaframagram, online patio, in the room, hey, you were created by God on purpose. Yes, you, on purpose. Yes, the person sitting next to you was created on purpose, for a purpose, a good purpose, in the image of God. And ever since then, the devil has been trying to change what you see when you look in the mirror. See, you're made in the image of God, but the devil doesn't want you to see that when you look at yourself. He wants you to hate what you see. Why do so many people hate what they see when they look in the mirror? So many of us hate what we see when we look in the mirror. So many people with straight hair wish they had curly hair. Come on, hands up in the room if you've got straight hair and you have at some point in your life just wished that your mama donated curly hair jeans to you. Give me a wave, right? Now put your hand down. Hands up if you have curly hair and at some point in your life you have desperately wished that your mama donated straight hair jeans to you. Give me a wave, right? Why do we want what we are not? It's not just wanting what we don't have. It's not appreciating what we are. So many people are trying to lose weight while so many other people are trying to put on weight. Growing up, I was actually straight up embarrassed about how skinny I was. See, I had heart surgery, big line down my chest, and for the first little while before I learned how to bench press, my chest healed up like that because of the surgery, and I was mega skinny because who knows that having your heart torn out of your chest kind of impacts your body. So I was embarrassed about my body and how skinny I was. I wore a shirt everywhere, maybe 7 or 8 shirts everywhere, all right? And then all of my friends who were a little bit overweight wished that they had my problem while I wished that I had their problem. Can I tell you right now, if your motivation for weight gain or weight loss is not based on a desire for health, but rather the opinions of other people and some sense of self-worth, you're never going to feel that deep affirmation that you're seeking. Not going to come. If it's not based on, I just want to be healthy and live a little longer, if it's not based on that, the goal's never going to get there. Oh, I just want people to look at me and be like, "Ooh, you are gorgeous." You're never going to feel the affirmation that you want. Come on, it's not going to come to you. I'm all for living a healthy life. I'm all about it, all right? In fact, right now, I am the healthiest I have probably ever been in my life. I had my cardio review, because when you have your heart torn out of your chest, they like to check up and make sure it isn't falling back out. And so I had my cardio review just a couple of weeks ago, and he said, "You're good. You're good. As healthy as any other Tom, Dick, or Harry walking down the street. Come on. It's all good. I am healthier than I've ever. I'm all about living a healthy life." But our value and our sense of worth is not determined by your weight. Come on, it's not determined by an abundance or lack thereof of pimples or sunspots. That's not it. Why do so many people put so much stock or value in weight? Like what you weigh on a scale could somehow determine your value to God or your value to others. Listen up, you have already been weighed. Your value has already been determined. And God says you're royalty. The apple of your father's eye. Apple of your father's eye. Gorgeous, wonderful, fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Yes, you. Yes, the person sitting next to you. Yes, your value is determined already. Royalty, apple of your father's eye. Even when you were dead in your sin, you were worth dying for. Amen. Worth chasing after. If there were 99 of us and you went missing, the Savior of the world would leave and run after you. You're worth it. Even your bad behavior doesn't affect or change the way that God sees you. In fact, your behavior doesn't determine your value any more than a Ferrari getting a speeding ticket determines its value. Come on, listen up. When we start talking about the things we do wrong, when we start talking about, Oh, I did that wrong. Oh, I said that wrong. I reacted to that wrong. Or I looked at this, or I heard about this, and I talked about this. And listen, when we talk about the things we do wrong, we're not talking about your value. They don't determine that. Y'all are going to make mistakes. Hands up if you made a mistake this week. Come on. Hands up if you said something to somebody that you wish you could take back even this week, right? Y'all are like, I can't put it up because they're sitting next to me. All right. Come on, right? Like, we all mess up. You're going to mess up. This is not a church for perfect people. This is not a church for perfect leadership. This is not a church for perfection. This is a church of people that make mistakes but continually go to God and say, God, help me be what you called me to be. You're going to mess up. But when we mess up, listen up. It doesn't affect our value. It only affects our effectiveness to do the things that God has called us to do. And so that's why we want to pursue the change and the growth that God puts in our hearts. But you got to understand something. The devil wants to repurpose the things that God put in you to help him mess up God's creation. He wants to make you less effective by repurposing the good things that God put in you. See, you have been created in the image of God, but the devil's trying to renovate you. He's trying to renovate you. He's trying to repurpose you, revalue you, by taking the good things that God put in you and using them for his purpose rather than for God's glory. See, if he can take the things of God and distort them, if he can take the gifts of God that are in you, the good things that God put in you, and repurpose them, he thinks he can get us to stop looking like God. And maybe if we stop looking like God, we'll stop walking around with the favor of God, hey? And you know what else? He wants to do that to us and change the way we see people. He wants us to quit seeing other people as created in the image of God. Oh, he doesn't want you to look at your neighbor like they were created in the image of God. Oh, you better believe it. You know what? Let me make this a bit more real for you in here. Are you ready? You ready? Oh, you're not going to like it. All right, come on. I got two things to say right now, and everybody's going to hate one of the things I'm about to say. Come on. God, the devil doesn't want you to look at Joe Biden and see someone created in the image of God. We're just going to sit in that for a second. Just sit in. Ooh, it's uncomfortable. The devil doesn't want you to look at Donald J. Trump and see someone created in the image of God. We're just going to hit pause for a bit. Let you sit on that. Think on that for a second. Stew on that. Whip out your phone. Come on, someone whip out Instagram and say, I totally disagree with half of what the pastor just said. Half of that sermon was crap. Oh, I know. Come on. He doesn't want you to look at each other and see someone who was created in the image of God. If he can get you to determine their value by their behavior, by their Twitter account, by the things they say, by their Instagram, by their Facebook, then maybe he's going to get you to start seeing yourself by the same things. He doesn't want you to look like that anymore. He wants to fill your heart with grievance and with hate for them. Watch this. You know that your anger is actually a gift from God? You know your anger is something that God put in you? Hello, created in the image of God. All throughout Scripture, we see a righteous God getting angry at unrighteous things. And God, who created us in his image, gave us that same desire. And so unrighteousness makes us angry. When somebody does something wrong or offensive, it makes us angry. Why would God put that in us? Because anger is an incredible motivator, is it not? Come on, you see some sin in your life and you're angry and you're like, I gotta fix that. You see some hurt in somebody else's life and it makes you angry, so you want to fix that. You get angry at homelessness. You get angry at human trafficking, like Christine Kane did. She got so angry about human trafficking that it motivated her to start an organization, Acts 28, and do something about it. But if she didn't get angry, she'd have never done anything about it. She'd have sat back and be like, oh, that's a little bit sad. Sad? It's unrighteous. It makes her angry. So she stood up and did something about it. But listen to me. The devil wants to hijack your anger and redirect it at the wrong places. I don't know about you, but this whole Rona season got me getting a little angry lately. Anybody else? Yeah? 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 Anyone else find themselves just a little bit easier angered? You know, it used to be the kids would punch each other in the face and you're like, that makes me angry. And now they walk past you and you're like, ah! Anybody else right now, you know? Don't touch me. Don't look at me, Judah. I don't know. Let's be honest. I'm not talking about righteous anger anymore. I'm talking about hijacked anger right now. All right. Oh, how I wish that lately I had righteous anger like Jesus in the temple. Oh, this unrighteousness, whipping and turning it all over. But no, that's not it. See, I have, as this pandemic wears on me, found myself at times getting angrier at things or people that perhaps don't deserve it. Now, I've always gotten angry at unrighteous people who drive slow in the left lane. Like that's unrighteousness. I get it. I've always been angry at them, you know, because everybody knows that the right lane is for slow people and the middle lane is for rule followers and the left lane is for people who are actually motivated to do something with their lives. And I would always joke about how the gas pedal's on the right side, not the wrong side, so use it. Anyone else get mad at slow drivers? Give me a wave. Anyone else get married at fast drivers? Give me a wave. You're not willing anymore. You're like, not after what you just said. Anyone get mad at the rule followers? You know, I'm going to go, you know what? I actually prefer the slow drivers over the ones going the speed limit. Sorry, officer. The ones going the speed limit are in the way all the way. At least the slow ones, you got a shot at getting past them. Come on. But recently, I went through a few weeks where maybe instead of like being behind a slow person and just thinking something like, oh, for the love of all things on the planet, would you please, for the glory of God and for the unsaved person that I'm about to meet and win and lead to the Lord Jesus Christ for their sake, would you please move over? Instead of that, I'm now like, I will stab you in the throat. Come on. And then after that, after I calm myself down, I open up my Facebook. And then I just want to throw my phone out the window until I realize, better yet, why waste a perfectly good phone throwing it out the window when I could go find the person who just vomited on my Facebook news feed and throw it at them? Or heaven forbid, while I'm on Facebook, I start reading the comment section of the news reports. Oh, if you ever want to see anger and vitriol and just the sewage of the world, go read the comment section of the news reports on Facebook. There's no life there. There is no life there. Come on. So I'm there and I'm like, y'all are unrighteous. I'm going to tell you how it is. So I type out my response. I'm like, and then just before I click send, the Holy Spirit says, Jesse, do you still want to be a pastor after this? And after thinking about that for way longer than I would have 6 months ago, I could just click highlight and delete. Come on. Oh, and then after that, on the way home, I'm instead of listening to Christian music or Stephen Furtick or some encouraging thing in my car, I'm listening to the news again. And now I don't just want to run over the slow driver. I don't want to just run over the slow little red Prius that's driving in the left lane, and everybody knows the Prius was designed for the middle. And so he's in my lane, and I'm listening to the news, and now instead of just that, I want to drive over him. Who not? Come on, Schottenkirk. Doug, they hooked me up with a big car this time. I will drive over that Prius. Come on. And I get home, and I tell my wife, baby, you wouldn't believe the stupid red Prius that was in the left lane on the highway today. Baby, you wouldn't believe the crap I was reading on the internet today. Is everyone else an idiot? Am I the only one that's not? And then she tells me to calm down. Calm down. Yeah, that'll work. Calm down. Calm down doesn't calm down anybody. Calm down is like throwing gasoline on a fire. All right? Calm down, I will calm you down. All right, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you get it. Anybody else? Maybe we're not really saying any of that, but in our heads, we're saying all of that, right? Come on, all of that getting said. You found yourself getting a little angrier at people, a little angrier at governments, a little angrier at organizations, a little angrier at businesses. Most everybody I've talked to lately has said they found themselves getting angrier at the wrong people faster and easier right now than ever before. See, the reason is... we're actually supposed to get angry. There's so much going on in the world for us to be angry about. Things that we should be angry about. Things that a righteous God is angry about. And people who were created in the image of that righteous God are angry too. But the devil got it hijacked and redirected at the wrong things and the wrong people. You know Jesus got angry, right? When Jesus saw people who turned the house of God into a den of thieves. Yeah. You know the story, Jesus getting angry in Mark 11. People turned the house of God into a marketplace. Now, that it was not like, hey, let's raise money for a mission trip to Guatemala. No, that's not what it was. Which, by the way, we were going to talk about Guatemala mission trips this year, but next year we'll talk about that instead. They weren't raising money for a mission trip. It wasn't a building campaign to renovate the temple. It wasn't a fundraiser to buy the land next door. They weren't selling Christian resources and Bibles to encourage and strengthen one another's faith. No, it was a straight up marketplace. They had animals for sale. There was poo everywhere in the house of God. They were selling stuff everywhere, not for the cause, but for the individuals in the room. They had repurposed something that God had designed to bless them and humanity, and it made Jesus angry. So Jesus sits down. He's getting angry. His blood is boiling. He's angry. His disciples are like, yo, Jesus, what are you doing? See, you got to understand, Jesus was sitting down somewhere. He had some leather. He was making a whip. They're like, Jesus, what you doing? He's like, I'm going to show you in a minute what I'm doing. And then he stands up and he starts whipping at people and saying, get out of the Lord's house. Church, I believe it is time that we make some whips and drive the devil out of the temples. We gotta make some whips and drive the devil out of the temples. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And we have been angry at people and angry at things that we didn't need to be angry at. Instead of getting angry at some dude driving slow in the left lane, get angry about the fact that for the first time in 2,000 years, the devil emptied every church on the planet. Every church on the planet. Every one of them. Every believer isolated from each other. Are you angry enough about that? Because if you're not praying about it, you're not angry about it. If you're not praying about it, you're not angry enough about it. The devil brought a virus to the world, and too many of us are angrier at each other than we are at the one who brought it. Well, we're angry about how to deal with it instead of angry at the one who did it. Are you angry enough at all the heat in the world to pray about it? To get on your knees and pray about it? The devil emptied churches. He closed your businesses. He's bankrupted some families. He's bringing divorce and dysfunction into families, even in churches. He's brought dysfunction into relationships. He's killing people's grandmas and grandpas too soon. Yes, we got the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we do. And yes, the Holy Spirit is air conditioning to our souls. But come on. Are we angry enough at the devil to start praying for your family? Are you angry enough at the devil to start praying for your workplace? Are you angry enough at the devil to start praying for your business? Are you angry enough at the devil to start praying for your church or your Connect group leader? Come on, are you angry enough at the devil to start praying for Donald J. Trump and Joe Biden? Are you angry enough? Then we got to direct it at the right way. And as Benny said, we got to speak to the mountain. Speak to it. What does the Word of God say? Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers of darkness. That we're so focused on the person in front of us who dare have an opinion different than mine, that I won't pray. We got to pray, church. We got to pray. I don't want to do this for another 12 months. I don't want to be on a planet that isolates everybody for another 12 months. That ticks me off. And since I'm a changed man now, instead of cussing, I'm going to pray. Come on. Come on. I'm going to redirect my cussing to speak in the mountains. Hello. Some people in here are like, well, there is a God. Yeah, he answered your prayers. I'm serious. I'm going way off topic. I don't even care anymore. You have to pray for your family and for your business and for your church and for your leaders. Not just your leaders in the church, the ones you hate too. Quit hating them. Start praying for them. Hello. Some of y'all need to get off Facebook for maybe just a couple of decades as you heal from that. Can I be honest with you? I love Facebook. I'm going to keep using it because I believe personally that where there's like hate and psycho, that men and women of God need to be there to be like, peace in Jesus' name. But honestly, if it makes you angry, you're 1,000 times better off deleting every social media app. And did you know you were not designed to know every bad thing that's happening in the world at the same time? I'm serious. Like, I freaking love social media. I got family on the other side of the world. It's real helpful. We were not designed to know about the earthquake in Iran. Jesus is coming back tomorrow. Maybe. There's wars and rumors of wars. And yeah, maybe. There's asteroids. Meteorites, maybe, but there's actually not more of those things right now. You just have social media, so you know more than you knew 30 years ago. 30 years ago, when there was something going on, and you know, and someone got martyred in China, you didn't know. It took about 8 years for that bit of information to get here. We weren't designed to know everything in people's minds, all the anger, hate, frustration, dysfunction. It's not transparency. It's a lack of discipline. It hurts you. Someone in this room needs to know that your life might be 1,000 times better if you just stop giving a crap about what everyone else has got or doesn't have, is saying or not saying on social media. Well, that'll preach. Let me just see if there's anything else I need to say. Yeah, we got the Holy Ghost. Wow, that was ages ago. Yeah. Would you stand up with me? All these pages of notes that I'm just saying goodbye to. I don't know, I feel like the Holy Spirit's here right now. Do you feel that? Holy Spirit's here. I don't know why I'm stuck on this. There is someone in this room and you're just like, man, some of you know that Facebook is ruining your marriage, your heart, your soul. Sorry, I just feel like there's something God wants to do in here right now. Just before I sort of like maybe button up that whole get angry thing, can I just tell you, anything that you don't use for God's purpose, anything God gave you that you don't use for His purpose, the devil's going to hijack and use it for his. Okay? Maybe that might be social media, hey? Hey, there we go. It does fit. Thank you. You know? Like if you don't use that for His purpose, the devil's going to use it for his. If you don't use your anger to anger to prayer, the devil's going to make it a pressure cooker in your life that destroys relationships. If you don't use your finances for His purpose, the devil will use them for his. It's everything. You need to use it. We need to consecrate these things that God has given us back to God. In this season where the devil's hijacking the good things of God. I believe there's someone in this room right now. Can you close your eyes and bow your head? I want absolute privacy. I need the people online to close your eyes too. And you can join us in there as well, but I believe right now there's somebody that's so overcome. I'm flipping back now to what Pastor Benny said, breaking anxieties and depressions and fears. There's someone in this place who is not just like a fleeting moment thinking about suicide, but straight up, yeah, that's a real thing that I'm thinking about right now, and I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you an opportunity in a minute to lift up your hand and tell me who you are. And here's my promise to you. I will not chase you out of the room. I will not make contact with you, but I will pray for you right now, and I will encourage you to make contact with us this week, and we will keep it completely private, completely secret, just you and the staff pastor we hook you up with, but every eye closed. Like, it's a for real option for you now. It's not just a, oh man, I hate this life, but a for real option. The devil's been just tricking you. He's using your eyes to only see the destruction. Right now, the Holy Spirit wants to break that spirit of suicide off your life right now. Just break it off. But you need to do one thing. It's hard. It's hard because you're worried. Maybe someone is looking around. They're not. I can see everyone. But I need you to take a step of faith. And as you do, it's almost like just claiming the freedom and lift up your hand. So on the count of three, if that's you, I'm not going to tell anybody if that's you. It might be more than one. I don't know. On the count of three, lift up your hand, a step of faith. Holy Spirit's going to deliver you today. Every eye closed, no one looking around. One, two, three. Lift it up right now. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Yeah. Okay, you can put your hand down. It's a new day, my friend. Hey, it's a brand new day. I want every eye closed, every eye except for that one person. I want them to look at me quickly. Freedom in the name of Jesus. I declare freedom in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is here this whole day. I wouldn't even care about the rest of it now. It was so that you would continue to experience life and life to the full. The devil got you tricked thinking that this is all it is or whatever else, or that you can't get past the pain or that you can't get past the hurt or that you can't see through the fog. I don't know. But I'm declaring freedom in the name of Jesus. It is a brand new day. And now I want everyone to lift up their hands to heaven so that this one person isn't alone and doesn't stand out. I want everyone in the room. Now I'm just praying for this one person, but y'all have got your hands raised because we're doing this in solidarity to bring freedom into one person's life. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for orchestrating this day for that one person. In the name of Jesus, we break a spirit of depression and a spirit of suicide. We break it in the name of Jesus. Break it in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we stand with you and we battle for this young person's life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we declare life, hope, joy, peace. God, and of all of those, God, hope. There is hope. Holy Spirit, I just ask you to come and break the chains, break every chain. Flood their heart right now with peace. Open their eyes to hope. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, everybody say amen. 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 Come on, praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, anxiety be gone in Jesus' name. You angry enough to speak to some mountains? Come on, depression be gone in Jesus' name. I love what Benny said in the long video. Hey, God, I'm not telling my God about depression. I'm telling depression about my God. My God is bigger than you. Be gone in Jesus' name. Come on. Rona, my God is bigger than you. Be gone in Jesus' name. Devil, my God is bigger than you. Be gone in Jesus' name. Suicide, my God is bigger than you. Be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody praise him. Come on, lift up a chain break and praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, break the chains of your neighbors. Break the chains of your neighbors. Break the chains of your families. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to be praying because I don't want to be angrier at my neighbors than I am at the devil. Hallelujah. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, you need to give him your life today. You need to give him your life today. All this get angry stuff I was talking about. Listen, we don't want angry, mean Christians. We want angry, motivated Christians. Amen? Angry, motivated Christians. That's what we want. We're so angry that all you can feel is our love. How about that? That's what I think is righteous anger. Just oozes love. Amen. I'm angry at what the devil's been trying to do in your life. And if you don't know Jesus, I'm telling you, give your life to him today. Pray a prayer with me right now. There is hope. This is not the whole... Rona is not the whole story. There is so much goodness going on in the world right now. So much hope, so much joy, so much healing. Come on. Come on. And so give your life to Christ. I'm going to pray a prayer one line at a time, and then I'll get you to repeat it after me. Scripture says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. End of story. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to repeat it. I'm going to say it, sorry. I want you to repeat it after me. I want you to give Jesus Christ your life today and start to experience the wonder and the joy of a life lived according to the plans of your Creator. Amen. And so everyone in the room and everybody online, repeat after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin. And he rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. And I receive your forgiveness. and I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. And I ask you to help me live my life the way you designed it, so I can experience your favor, your healing, and your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. If you pray that prayer, there's two things I want you to do real quick. Text the word saved to the number 25827 if you're in the United States. If you're somewhere else, then go to myeternity.com/Jesus and we will send you a gift in the mail this week. We'll send you a Bible. We'll send you a worship CD and we'll also send you a gift card to a local coffee shop that we really love. So please do that immediately after the service or now. The other thing is, in a moment, I'm going to get you to lift up your hand because I want to pray for you. So if everyone could close their eyes one last time. I know I'm gone a little long today. I went a little bit off topic while I was kind of off topic already. So, like, we got a lot of degrees off. But I just wanted to spend one more moment. I want to pray for people that gave their life to Christ just now, that prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time. All right? If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to lift up your hand while no one else is looking around. Maybe you'd walked away from Christ and today you're like, man, I need to come back to Jesus. And so you prayed that prayer. Maybe you've never had a friendship with God. Well, praise God, it's a new day. So while no one's looking around, on the count of three, you prayed that prayer, you want me to pray for you now, then take a step of faith and lift up your hand. One, two, three, go. Lift up your hands. God bless you. I see one, two. Any other hands? Awesome. You three. Awesome. You can four. Awesome. You can put your hands down. Awesome. Heavenly Father, I pray for those four people. God, I don't know the state of their hearts. I don't know the state of their minds. I don't know what they walked out of, what they've been walking in or through, but I know that you know. God, they need a friend. I ask that Jesus Christ, you would come be their friend. Holy Spirit, that you would come and seal salvation on their lives. That you would begin to transform their lives and their minds. That God, that where there has been shame, whether it be things that were done to them or things that they did and they've carried shame of that, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would break it off their lives. That where there is lack, God, I pray you would bring abundance. That where there is sadness, I thank you that there is joy coming in the name of Jesus. Where there is mourning, I pray there would be dancing. I thank you for a transformed life. God, speak to them about their value and their worth, unending, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to encourage you four people, come to church next week. Anyone online as well, come to church next week, online or in the room. Bring a friend. Tell somebody that you gave your life to Christ today. I'm telling you, you are going to start living in freedom, in freedom, in freedom, in freedom. And to the one person that responded to the call about suicide, you do not have to. I will not come and pursue you, but our doors are open. Just send us a message on Facebook, on Instagram. It's at My Eternity Church. That's it, at My Eternity Church. Call the office. We have a number of pastors, 17 pastors, 17 people on staff that would love to pray with you, bless you, take you out for lunch or coffee, and help you find freedom in Christ and continue this new journey you're on today. So God bless you. I'm going to walk off right now. Couple of things. Don't forget to get your gift after the service. We will close the service in about 4 minutes. But I want you to take this time now to just offer yourself as a living sacrifice in the presence of God, worshiping God. Lift up your hands and worship. Open your mouth and sing. And ask God, God, have I had my anger hijacked? Some of you are not asking God. You're like, God, I have had my anger hijacked. Some of you, your wife is going to be like, you have. You're going to be like, God, have I? And you're going to hear the Holy Spirit say, yes, you have, sweetheart. And so, But let's just spend a moment in the presence of God and say, God, we don't want to live with hijacked, unrighteous anger. Would you help me have righteous anger that motivates me towards righteousness and prayer in the name of Jesus? Amen. And we'll leave this place with more peace and more movement in Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that message. And if you did, make sure to check out our other episodes. If you'd like to connect with Eternity Church, you can visit myeternity.com. And to stay up to date with everything going on, follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Both of those are at myeternitychurch. And until next week, love you heaps.